Welcome to Calvary. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. Let's bow our heads and lift up our hearts to God today. Dear God, we thank you so much that you are present with us in power and strength, and pray your spirit upon us during this hour of worship as we lift up our voices and claim that you are our God and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to everybody. Today's a special day. It's potluck day. We want you all to stay and join with us in sharing a meal after the worship service. We usually let the people who are handicapped or need assistance to go through the line first so we can help them. And then everyone is invited to come through the line, and we'll say a blessing before the end of the service. Bill, is there something I should be saying? Oh, okay, great. He was giving me a look, but I think he was counting. If you're a first-time visitor, we want to give you a special welcome and ask you to fill out the registration card, the welcome card that's in the pew there, so we might give you a welcome and learn a little bit more about you. We like to know who's with us and want you to feel a part of us while you're here. And one of the things that we do traditionally is to greet one another with the peace of Christ. Will you greet your neighbors?
That's the first hymn. That's the first catch.
Be with you, my dear. Mwah, sweetheart. I love you too, Betty.
Well, a glorious good morning, church. Good morning. I'm glad everyone is here. They weren't afraid to come out in the brisky, windy, beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us with today. Amen. Well, my name is Robin Stowers, and I am filling in on this fifth Sunday. I'd like to compliment Diane Rood for being liturgist for most of this month. And let's go through some announcements. They are all printed in your bulletin, but we would like to hit on a few of them. Pumpkin Patch is doing great, but guess what? The patch would not be doing anything if it wasn't for us, if it wasn't for volunteers. We are in need of some volunteers this evening from 5 to 7, did you say? No, we're covered. But come on out anyway and walk through the patch and get to know the community. It's a beautiful weather. And the patch will be open till Tuesday, so think about coming out and volunteering for that. Trunk or Treat is Tuesday night. We will be circling up at 5 o'clock, getting our treats and our trunks ready to greet the community, starting at 6 o'clock with our candy. And I'd like to thank Barbara for heading that up. Charge Conference. Our Supercharged Conference will be Saturday, November 11th at 9 o'clock a.m. at Crossroads United Methodist Church. The address is in the bulletin. All churches will meet together for one inspiring conference. If you would like to carpool, please meet at the church at 8 a.m. Everyone is welcome to attend. Do we have any other announcements from the community? Yes, Betty. Wow. You want to hold your sign up? Because today is the fifth Sunday. And there are special envelopes in your bulletins if you would like to contribute to that. What a wonderful ministry and a great cause. Mom made it. She was wondering where Mom was today. Well, let us turn to the back of our bulletins for our opening words. God, we know you are with us. You have showered your love upon all generations since the beginning of time. Guide us now through this time of worship and into the week ahead. Amen.
I'm filling in for my dad real quick, so sorry about that. If you all would stand up and turn in your hymnals to page 557, we'll sing "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." Now, if you all would turn into the back of your hymnals to page 882, we will say our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Be seated.
Bradley's going to help me out in just a minute with our children's moment. Because our scripture passage today is one of the most important scriptures that we find because it tells us what the most important commandment is. The Bible has a lot of different commandments in it, but today's scripture lesson says the greatest commandment is to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. But that may seem like an easy thing to do, but it's not so much easy. I'm going to put up here, if you would, Bob, a reading that Bradley is going to share responsively with us. Responsively, he will read the leader part, and you all will read the, does it say people up there? The bold italicized is the people. So he starts out reading. That's Bradley's part. And then we will join in during the part that's bold and italicized. So we're going to understand a little bit better what loving God and loving our neighbor means. All right, Bradley, will you start us out?
Jesus told us to love God with all our heart.
But we often love our jobs, our homes, and our own possessions more than we love God.
Jesus told us to love God with all our soul.
But we put more soul into our music, our sports, our hobby, than into expressing our love of God.
Jesus told us to love God with all our mind.
But we seldom study the Bible as much as we study our school books or bank books.
Jesus also told us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves.
But we spend hours meeting our wants and needs, and minutes finding excuses for not taking care of others.
Forgive us, Lord. Help us to remember and obey your commands. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus gave us commands so that we would know how to live. But Jesus also died so that we could be forgiven when we fail to live up to those commands. We are commanded and forgiven because we are love. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you. All right, boys and girls, let's get some candy. Welcome, sweetheart. We have the best kids of all. They are wonderful. And I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward as we prepare to serve God and witness to our faith through the giving of our gifts. Let us pray. Gracious God, we sometimes need your help for our lives. We could not do these commandments without the gift of your Son and our Savior. So we pray, dear God, that you will continue to show us your way and to use us for your kingdom through these gifts that we give. In Jesus' name. Be seated.
Temple to grow in love.
this morning we want to reach out and comfort and love to the family of Joanne Gernhard, that's Brian Gernhard and David Gernhard's grandmother on their dad's side, who passed away, and services are planned for Tuesday this coming week. So we want to remember them and that family for her loss. And this morning, I would just like for us to get into a prayerful state of mind by gently bowing your head and closing your eyes and breathing in and out to clear your thoughts from anything intrusive that's getting in the way, that you may be in touch with the Spirit of God. And after moments of silence, I would invite you to make your prayer this morning in the form of speaking someone's name, sharing a situation in life, or a place in the world that you would like to lay at God's feet today. These are your people, God, every single one that we have named and those that we name only to ourselves. And you love them. Hear our prayer. And help us to be your people when we pray the prayer that you taught us, when we say together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I'd like to thank everyone for your prayers and your good wishes. I'm healing well from my surgery and hope to be at 100% very soon. The hymn this morning is not going to be Go Down Moses. I had given Beth the correct information, but she just passed it on incorrectly. So the hymn instead will be Come Now, Fount Thou Every Blessing, number 400 in your hymnal. If you would please stand.
Thank you.
please be seated.
Let us join in our scriptures this morning. Our first one is found in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 17 and 18. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Our next scripture is found in Matthew chapter 22, and it's verses 34 through 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. I want to ask you something, and I want you to think about your answer to yourself. Do not answer aloud, but I want you to answer it as honestly as you can. Who is it that you hate? Now, the very word hate is jarring to many of us. It's such a strong word, it's equivalent to killing in many people's vocabulary. So I'm going to rephrase the question for you and take out that word. Against whom are you nursing a grudge? Where is the bitterness in your life, and to whom is it directed? Who is it in your life who has made decisions differently than you have, and you are quite convinced that your way is the better way, so you hold this person at a distance, perhaps also with an air of self-righteousness? Who are those people in your life? The Leviticus passage that we heard this morning ends this way. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Pretty serious stuff. And Jesus picks up these same words in the Matthew text. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. And some of you are probably thinking to yourself, Pastor, You just don't understand what I've been through. You have no idea the kind of abuse I've endured, the heartache, the devastation. So let's look at these words again from Leviticus. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then from Matthew, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no loopholes in these words. I don't hear any room for exceptions. These words are unequivocal. But doesn't Jesus know? Surely God knows what I have been through. Doesn't this, in effect, condone wrong behavior? Doesn't it say that the sin was okay? That what happened to me wasn't wrong? If I love my neighbor as myself, if I love the perpetrator, what becomes of the sin? Jesus does know what you've been through and what you're going through. As you know, deep down in your heart, if you're willing to admit it, there are no secrets from God. And that's why these words are so definite, because God, who does know all, knows what happens to us and knows that when we cling to our hatred and to our bitterness and to self-righteous arrogance, we are falling from Him. Now, in Italy, there's the Bay of Naples, and there are two creatures that live in this bay. One is the nutty branch snail, and they're small little snails protected by, of course, the hard shell, the outer protection. And then there's something called the Medusa jellyfish. And the jellyfish makes a huge error when it swallows one of those snails, because the jellyfish thinks it's getting a tasty treat. But the snail attaches itself to the inside of the jellyfish and ends up eating that jellyfish from the inside out. Yes. This is why, my friends, these lessons are emphatic and unambiguous. Because this is what happens to you when you nurse your grudges and do not let go of your anger. You think you're getting a tasty snack, munching on those resentments and the bitterness and the self-righteousness. Sometimes it tastes so good to us. But in fact, it is eating you alive from the inside out. This is not what God wants for you. God does not want your destruction, but wants for you joy in life and freedom. There was a man who couldn't, his name was Tom, he couldn't give up his anger and grief toward his sister's murderer. His sister was a delightful young woman. She worked in a Christian organization. She sang in the choir, and she and her roommate were part of a Bible study together. And it was in that Bible study that welcomed the man who would become her killer. They had been told that this man had been released from a state mental hospital, but what they had not been told was that he had been confined to the facility after being found not guilty by reason of insanity for killing a 15-year-old girl. Well, Tom's sister was moving out of her apartment. Her roommate was getting married, and she had moved out a couple days earlier, and Tom was planning to come help her the next day. But for that one night, she was alone in her apartment. And so this man came to her door looking for her roommate, actually, and then got enraged when she was not there and lashed out and stabbed Tom's sister to death. In the trial, Tom says that he wanted to leap over the railing and kill him with his bare hands. He couldn't see this man as a human being, and, well, who could blame him for that? Who among us would have responded differently? But the problem was, it was 15 years later and it was still eating him alive. He had made himself busy during that time, volunteering, so that he would be too busy to have time to think about what had happened. But he was planning to lead a Bible study at the church, and this Bible study included a week on forgiveness. And he had this voice that came to him and said, "Are you going to forgive your sister's killer?" But he ignored that voice and went to the Bible study, and he talked the talk, and a woman who was listening raised her hand and said, "This is too easy. What if someone killed your children or your wife or husband?" And he felt like he had been slapped in the face. They didn't know about his sister. And during the course of that evening, Tom finally realized the price he was paying for his anger. And so he realized he must and could finally let it go. It wasn't dramatic. It wasn't a big aha moment. It was very quiet. It was a release. And finally, after all those years, he had a sense of peace come over him. But to love your neighbor as yourself does not mean you have to have a warm and cozy feeling in your heart toward those who have inflicted the greatest pain on you. God knows that feeling of love is sometimes not possible. But what Leviticus and Jesus are both talking about are not love the feeling, but love the action. The action of love, it's what's required. The physical letting go of the hatred, the bitterness and the self-righteousness that is eating you alive. Now, Leviticus also speaks of other actions of love. Leviticus says, "You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin." And from our lesson, it says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people." And these are the actions of love. They do not condone the wrongs that have occurred. They prevent those wrongs from eating you alive. And sometimes, though, this action of love can take time, as it did in this man Tom's case. It took him years. It can take time to come to terms with your anger. And so I believe the commandment is not given to us to force us into any of these actions. It's not given to point fingers or judgment at each other, that you must love your neighbor as yourself. It is not given to make the suffering person suffer more. This command to love your neighbor as yourself is given instead as a gift, because our all-knowing and all-loving God knows that this is the only way to true joy and peace. To let go of that anger and to let go of the bitterness and the self-righteousness does not right the wrongs that have been done, but it is the door that God has opened to us for joy and for peace in your life. And that's what God wishes for you and for me, to find true joy, to find true peace. It's available to you today. It's available to you every time we need it. Every time you need it, all you have to do is say, "Dear Lord, help me today. Help me release these feelings of anger and bitterness. Help me, dear God." And just let God take it from you. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord, today and every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please stand and turn in your hymnals to 703. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot." Verse 4.
Sweet Lord,
a number of songs like Swing Low, Sweet Chariot that talk about our true home. Our true home beyond this life. But I want to tell you, my friends, it's not just that we go to a place in the sky when we die, but it starts here and now. The kingdom of heaven is present and among us, close to us and near to us, because of what we have received in the salvation of our souls. What a gift that we take with us today and every day. And it is us who are asked to share that, to let people know who Jesus is. When we leave this place, no one knows except through who we are and what we do, who Jesus is and what Jesus does. Now I want to offer you this morning a prayer for our meal that we are to take and invite you again to stay for that meal and be a part of our fellowship together on this fifth Sunday. It's every fifth Sunday that we have a potluck, and we're even going to have a special dinner in November for Thanksgiving, even though it's not a fifth Sunday. So there's another meal coming up next month, too. Let's bow our heads and receive God's blessing. We do pray, O God, your blessing upon us as a people, as a church, as your servants in the world, and especially this food that we partake today. May it be blessed to our bodies and we to your service. As we go forth from this place, may we go in your love and peace. Amen.
To really realize how bad the fire is.
Yeah.
That's someone, just pick a note up. First, I used to work with people from the spirit.